You might notice that today's episode is a bit different to our usual format, and that's because we travelled up to Manchester to Sound and Colour Films to record these in person. That means if you're on Spotify, not only can you listen to the show, but you can also watch along. I'm afraid that is only available on Spotify, so if you're on another streaming platform, why not hop over there and watch too? Enjoy the show.
I think we miss a trick when we talk about AI because it is an enabler, and I think it's an absolute game changer to society, because it has the potential to change the world we live in for the better. It has the potential to really solve some of the world's biggest problems.
Welcome to Tech Talks. My name is David Savage, and today I'm joined by Caroline, the MD of Slalom here in Manchester. Now, we're talking about AI, and we've been talking about AI a lot recently, and it might be beginning to irritate some people, but perhaps that is because of the tone of the conversation. Here, we're trying to strike a slightly more positive note. I'm joined by Caroline Grant, the UK or Manchester MD for Slalom.
You just promoted me, but yes. Manchester Managing Director.
Well, yep. There we go. Not UK. Yep. Manchester. Well, first of all, it shows that I actually don't know a huge amount about Slalom, so this is going to be an education at the top. How big are you in the UK? How big are you globally? Who are Slalom?
Good question. So Slalom are a global business and technology consulting company. Mm-hmm. About 12,000 globally, about 550 in the UK, because we're quite new to market. So yeah. We only started going outside of the US probably about 7 years ago. So still a fairly new brand on the market, which might be why you haven't heard of us.
Or it might be that I'm just not doing a very good job of...
No, I think we aren't as well known, but those that do come across us often stay working with us, and we tend to make a good impression, we hope. The reason why I think we're slightly different is that we try to show up slightly differently. So we are purpose-led and human-centric, and I know that seems a bit trite, but we essentially try to do the best things for our customers so that they can, you know, move faster, dream bigger, you know, build better tomorrows, and we try and go on that journey with them. So we'll help explore what they can do to achieve their business objectives, and then we'll go through that journey with them to execute on that. And we'll do it with them in partnership, and try to show up in a kind and normal and nice way.
And look, I don't think it's trite to reference those at all, but I suppose if we're getting kind of under the hood of what you're actually doing with your customers,
yeah,
what are the kind of projects that you're working on at the moment?
So we tend to do a lot of technology-based programs and transformations. Mm-hmm. So we would do a lot of in the data and analytics space. We do a lot of kind of modern engineering, building new exciting products for our customers. We do a lot of business advisory, so kind of strategy, organizational effectiveness. We do a bit of process optimization, so anything that you would typically find in that field. We do a lot around innovation, so we're trying to build much more on our innovation services. But of course, at the moment, we do a lot around artificial intelligence as well. So that seems to be the biggest theme for now.
Can you have a conversation about innovation without talking about AI?
I don't think I can have any kind of conversation without talking about AI. It's dominated every conversation, every interaction we have with a customer. Mm. It will come up for sure.
What specifically about it comes up?
It will come up in any different sphere. So it doesn't matter whether you are talking about process, whether you're talking about strategy, whether you're talking about implementing a tool or a different technology, AI will come up because it is essentially a way of a business achieving a lot of its objectives. It is an enabler for them to achieve their business objectives faster. So that's why it tends to be ingrained into every conversation.
Definitely, it seems to be that companies are looking at AI as a way of achieving their goals faster, yep. Possibly cheaper.
Yeah.
To what end? How positive do you think this is? Is that something that comes up as a conversation?
Absolutely. So, look, I get a bit dismayed, if I'm honest, because, as I said, it's everywhere, isn't it? Every panel, every event you go to, every round table, AI is in there. It's either the headliner or it creeps in there somewhere. And in every single one of those events, it feels like it goes to the depths of despair very quickly, because people are still pretty afraid of it, because there is a lot of unknown around it. We don't essentially know where it'll end up. We don't know what some of the implications may end up being. So the ambiguity around it kind of fuels a lot of fear. And yes, realize that we need to drill into security and privacy, into how this impacts kind of social media and how that plays out. And there's a lot of guardrails that we need to put in place, and we need to focus on regulation. And I think that's what tends to hit the headlines as well, around all of the kind of summits around those topics. But I think we miss a trick when we talk about AI, because it is an enabler, and I think it's an absolute game changer to society, because it has the potential to change the world we live in for the better. It has the potential to really solve some of the world's biggest problems. And that sounds like pretty kind of high level pie in the sky, but that's essentially where it can lead to, because the power of it is so strong. And the rate in which it can learn and develop and help us to solve problems is just, you know, something we've never seen before. Mm. If you think about when it landed, really, when ChatGPT launched towards the end of last year, and, you know, just saw such a huge uptake and downloading of that app, the quickest, I think, ever. It started from there, really, that the pace of it and the speed of it has just gained legs. And we have, as I said, we have been focusing on, you know, what's the regulation around that? But I think also we need to focus on, now, how do we fuel that innovation? How do we get channeled it into the right ways? I get super optimistic about it, because I think when you look at some of the use cases around healthcare, for example, and how it can fundamentally disrupt that industry, how you could, you know, research quicker and better, you know, churn through data, get better insights, you know, you can reduce the time for clinical trials, and you can essentially come up with new drugs in just a radically shorter amount of time. And think about the impact that has on society. So in all of these events, I will always urge people to find your personal connection to it, to stop being so afraid, because yes, we do have to think about all those things, but imagine where it can take you, and imagine the impact that it can have on you personally in any walk of your life. And I'm sure each person will be able to focus on something.
I think it's interesting the way that you're framing this, because there's a journalist who I've got to know through conferences like Web Summit called Harry McCracken, who writes for Fast Company. And around the time of the OpenAI boardroom drama, he wrote a piece which talked about, we need to not worry so much about what AI is going to do to society and protecting society and humanity, but we need to do what we can to protect AI from humanity.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it.
What steps can organizations make to realize the positive promises and opportunities that you're talking about? You know, absolutely, the breakthroughs in healthcare and so on.
Yeah.
And stop it becoming a money printing machine for those who've got the tools to get the most out of it quickest at scale.
From a company's perspective. Mm. So I think they just have to set themselves up to be able to invest in it and be able to innovate from it. So they have to have the right structures in place. So I think, I mean, we did some research recently, and it showed that, you know, over 80% of the people that we asked were using AI in some way within their businesses. So they were kind of playing around with it. Had some interaction with it. So that's quite a high number. But then conversely, only 6% had a clear strategy, had a clear kind of architecture around it. So it's kind of where we are at the moment. It landed, AI landed, caused a massive kind of ripple in our society and the way in which, you know, people could access this kind of data and cause this, you know, huge flurry of hype, if you like, but there is something behind the hype, but it, you know, it has become the buzzword. And then, you know, what you'll find is people are then grasping at, okay, how can we use AI and developing use cases or POCs, but not thinking about, well, how do we embed it? So we can test it and we can think about how we might use it, but how do we really embed it within our organization and get the most out of it? So what businesses need to be thinking about is, have you got all of the things in place to enable that properly to have the outcome that you desire? Because it needs to be outcome focused. You need to be able to use AI to do something. And it's not just kind of a shiny tool that you can say, oh, I used AI. We've got your AI in our business. It needs to be doing something. So what I mean in terms of the structure is the usual stuff, right? In tech transformations, it is, have you got the right architecture? Have you got cloud architecture in place? How is your data? Is that full? Is it clean? Is it right? Because, you know, only when you've got that set up, then, you know, AI is going to be able to make sense of data and learn from it. So have you got the right skill sets within your organization? Or are you going to buy in those skill sets from elsewhere to be able to, you know, have the data sciences, to be able to develop models, to be able to, you know, analyze data, et cetera. So have you got the people and the capability around it? And then have you got the governance and structure? So AI isn't just, you know, the responsibility of the CIO or the tech leaders. It's the responsibility of the whole organization to make sure that they have the right context to be able to make the best of what is essentially an enabler on steroids.
Yeah. Look, you talk about structure and where leadership's concerned, and I appreciate every organization's different, but where are you seeing good examples where leadership is enshrined? And who holds that? Is it the chief executive? Is it a chief data officer? Is it the chief information officer? Typically speaking, where do you see that leadership coming from in this space?
Could be anywhere. I mean, often it's from the tech leaders, from the CIOs, but you'll often get it from the business, right? Because they see what that outcome could be using technology. So I think more than ever, you see a business-driven need or requirement to embrace AI, and you see them pushing things as well, because, you know, ChatGPT put AI in the hands of every user, right? Anyone. So anyone in the business can kind of start tinkering a little bit with AI around the edges and start thinking, okay, we could do it for this, et cetera. So I think you're seeing a lot of demand driven from all areas of the business, much more than we have maybe seen before, because it is so accessible and people, they not might not be able to understand it fully, but they can kind of grasp the impact that they'll be able to make within their own business area, because there isn't an area of the business that couldn't be improved and impacted by it.
You talk about it being in the hands of users. That's definitely the case. You know, ChatGPT is certainly one of those technologies that anyone can get their hands on, and we've all got mobile devices and so on with AI now built into it. You've joined a global business within the last year, but predominantly heritage-wise, you know, leadership from the US.
Yeah.
And I've seen some statistics that suggests that folk in the US are far more ready to accept AI than folk here in the UK and in Europe. And I just wondered why that was. Why is it that that market seems more predisposed to accepting some of this bleeding edge tech than we do here?
I don't know. It could be regulation.
Yeah.
So Europe-wide, at the moment, the stance is more from an external perspective, from the country level, the stance is more, you know, trying to solve for every use case and solve for every eventuality and try and put a regulation around it. Whereas actually UK and maybe or maybe elsewhere, it's more driven by innovation. So innovate and then, you know, then we'll regulate around it. So get to the innovation first and then we'll regulate rather than regulation leading. So there might be something on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's just a social, cultural risk aversion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just guessing, I have to say.
But you you ran an event here in Manchester recently. You mentioned before hit record. 250 attendees?
Around that, I reckon, yeah.
From across the technology industry?
Yep. From technology industry and partners and customers, potential customers. So it was basically an event for those three areas of the population. So businesses within the Manchester and Northwest region.
And you're right when earlier in the interview you say, you know, AI is on the lips of every conference producer and putting it up on stage. But when you get into a forum like that, 250 people feels like a nice kind of sample size to get in and really hear what people are having to say.
Yes.
What was the conversations in the room? Where was the focus there?
I'm just conscious that I've said that every event and every round table and every panel is AI. Yes, we did do an event on AI. We just joined.
Yes, everyone is doing it. I think that's fine, but it's interesting that it was a slightly different flavour, right?
Yeah, so we did try. Look, I think you might have got, I'm an eternal optimist, okay?
Yeah.
And I really wanted to put an event on, we wanted to put an event on that showed AI in action. So we didn't feel like there's a lot of talking about AI, but we didn't feel like people were showing it. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to show the power of what it could do. And we also wanted to show, you know, what it could do for good as well, AI for good. So it was a bit of an immersive experience. And we had, it was pretty cool. We had brought in some of our immersive technology from our labs in New York, Element Labs. So we had a lot of, it wasn't all AI, so we had virtual reality, augmented reality type technology that people could interact with on different stands, okay? So that was just really great talking points there because it brings up all of the topics we've just talked about. We demoed on stage a technology that basically you can put on some glasses and say you're in a networking event. You put on these glasses and then you can see in these glasses, it facially recognizes somebody that you're about to talk to. So it does the facial recognition and then it pulls on all of their social media and everything that it can find about them. So it will say, oh, this is so-and-so. So it'll give you their name. It'll give you a job title. And then it will put around the sides all of the what it can find that's relevant information from a social from social media perspective. So what they might like based on, you know, what they've commented on, how they've written posts, the way in which they've responded to things. It will detect the emotion of that person. So like this person's, you know, a bit sad or a bit nervous. And then it will come with like some of the key questions that you might want to ask that person to generate some meaningful conversation based on what they know about that person. So, you know, things like that kind of technology, we had digital humans there as well, which interact with you, you know, financial advisors in banking or, you know, kind of intelligent customer service on steroids. So all of that kind of generates loads of conversation. Lots of the concerned conversation, as you might think, where people are kind of pushed a little bit out of their comfort zone, but really great conversation. I think one thread, we were wearing these lanyards. And
I was going to bring this up because you showed it to me a few minutes ago, and you say they're generating concerned conversation.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've interrupted. You carry on.
No, you were right. So I did give you a preview
of
this because we were talking about it before. But of all the slalomers that were at the event, we had lanyards that had been generated by AI. So what you do is you put in the job description and the title of that person, then it generates the image that it believes, you know, images that it believes that person looks like.
Unfortunately, it looked a lot more like me.
There is a lot of bias in that.
Yeah.
So that was exactly why we did that, to create a talking point. Because, Yes, I put my job title in and it was a very stereotypical response, very male response. There wasn't much diversity there at all. So it's just a great, you know, it's a great talking point because this is the things that we have to think about in making sure that AI is used in the ethical and right way and that it can help us with diversity rather than hinder it. So we need to be, we train the models, right? So we can make sure that, you know, we have the right amount of data in there that is balanced and is ethical so that we're coming to a much more balanced approach. It was quite embarrassing in the event. I know you're going to ask me another question, but just although one other thing was quite embarrassing in the event because someone did pull me up on one of our big pictures that we had generated, which was AI generated image of the event. And there was a woman there and she's like, "What? Is that AI generated?" I was like, "It is, yeah." She's like, "Yeah, you can tell." I was like, "Why? Look at how that supposed woman is standing." And the stance that that woman had, I looked at her, I was like, "You're absolutely right. A woman would never stand like that. Never use this kind of stance."
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So the point on that is sometimes you don't even realize the kind of nuances and the biases that, you know, data and AI are putting into things.
Look, it's worrying, but I think it's a brilliant device to highlight bias because we talk about bias and we talk about inclusion a lot.
Yeah, correct.
But it's a brilliant way of bringing it into reality for people. What's the response though? You know, because we've been talking about getting more women into technology for the best part of 20 years without a huge amount of movement.
Yeah.
So we could sit here and we could say, well, we need more women to be in engineering roles, to be the people that are training the data. But by the time that practically happens, we're going to be 20 years down the line, perhaps, and far too late. So what do we do?
So I think there's different things that we have to do because it's not an easy answer. Why is there not as many women in tech and why is there not as many women in leadership? I think that is a multifaceted answer. And, you know, some of it might be on bias in the recruiting process. Some of it might be on career opportunity. Some of it might be on the lack of mentorship. Some of it might be on the lack of kind of early years educating that we've done. But I think we're trying to do a lot of that. So I think we are trying to solve for that and making sure that we have, you know, the right kind of training programs that are focused on making sure we're building up and creating the expertise, particularly for women. I think a lot of it happens because we lose women at that leadership layer. So I think we're doing quite a good job of getting in more women at the entry levels because we're seeing the effects of, you know, trying to push STEM, for example, and women in schools and earlier education. So I think we're starting to see that. And I think it's more equitable in the lower levels. And then you get to leadership level and it kind of it falls by the wayside in most companies, and you see the disparity there, and there is a lack of women in those leadership roles. And I think partially that has to do with role modeling. I'm a bit passionate in this particular area. I think there's not enough women in showing authentic leadership and their whole self in leadership roles. So what happens is a woman, but it can be, I'm not stereotyping, it could be anyone, right? But it tends to be women will look up and think, "I can't do that. I can't do that because I have to be this perfect business person. I have to be a perfect mother, maybe. I have to be a perfect daughter, friend, partner. And I'm trying to be all of these things and it's just too hard. And therefore, I'm not going to prioritize my career growth because I've got all these other things that I need to do." And so what I think we need to do is show people, like, leaders aren't perfect. And that's what I do. I mean, people can definitely see I'm not perfect. I show that on a daily basis, right? But I also show my support network. So what it takes for me to lead the market Now I have a really supportive husband. I've got help. I call on school mums to help me out. So I'm really transparent around that it is a juggle, right? It's not perfect. I'm juggling everything, and sometimes it's not that successful, but I'm completely transparent on that. And I'm transparent on all the like little daily struggles, and I'm transparent on the balls I might drop. And it's mainly because I want people to see you don't have to be perfect. And you can try, and you don't get a work-life balance, but you're juggling things and plates drop, and that's okay. Because actually we need people to see that in leadership. And I think there's not enough of that because, I don't know, maybe people are too scared to show that because maybe they don't seem like such a strong leader if they've got all their stuff together and, they're showing that they can do everything perfectly. But in reality, that's not true. And I think we have to be more transparent.
I suppose it comes back to your earlier point, though, of showing actually humanity in the industry and being vulnerable. Like, you know, surely that is what being a leader is.
Correct, but I just don't think we see it that often, or maybe as often as we should.
Coming back to the point, though, of bias in AI as it is today.
Oh, you're going to grill me on this, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm just. Is it just drawing attention to it? Is it calling it out? You know, those devices that you've used there with your lanyard, that we need to keep doing those because people are readily using AI, generative AI, in their daily jobs to write posts, to, you know, all sorts of various different content tools. And in many regards, that's brilliant, but they're doing it without an awareness of some of those inherent biases and challenges.
Absolutely. I feel exactly that. We need to call it out because when we see it, because otherwise, you know, it doesn't get fixed. Secondly, though, we have to make sure that the developers and those people that are in charge of, responsible for building data models, data sets that are feeding the AI, you know, that we are ethical and we are putting diverse thought into that, and that they are conscious of what they're doing. That is the important thing, because if you don't have a diverse data set, then, you know, you're not going to get a diverse answer from AI. So it's really important that education is at that level, so that we can, you know, start having a bit more of a level playing ground.
Last question then. You're a leader in this industry.
So what... they say.
You are. What question do you have? When you're surrounded by your peers, or you're going along to a conference, what is it that you're trying to find out?
What question do I have to others?
For others.
That's such a good question. I'm just a true consultant, right? So I'm just massively inquisitive about everyone and anything. So I'm just asking them, you know, what are their key challenges? What are they seeing? I just love to hear people's stories and people's perspectives.
Yeah.
So I don't have any one question, I don't think. I'll just chew their ear off and ask them anything they want.
Well, look, it's been a pleasure to be joined by you today. Thanks for taking some time out.
Thank you.
Away from a busy day to come and sit down with us.
You are more than welcome. Thank you for having me.